Hey there, everyone. Welcome to Holy Man, a journey of becoming godly men. No matter if we are sons or husbands, dads, grandfathers, or just any regular guy out there, we are going to try to figure out how God would want us to live on this journey called life. None of us have it all figured out. So let's dig into God's Word and wrestle with God's Word as we try to become who God created us to be, specifically, holy men. Hey there, men. It is good being with you today on the Holy Man podcast. We're in episode 59. And so for this semester, we have this one and one more next week. So come back next week for the last one of the semester, possibly the last one for quite a while. We'll see. We're still trying to decide what we're doing next. But yeah, it is good to be with you today as we continue on this journey. We've been talking about The Measure of a Man, the book that Gene Getz wrote many years ago. He's updated it. He even has some cool videos with part of it now. And it's about 20 attributes of a godly man as the Apostle Paul shared them with Titus and Timothy in their books. And so I have a guest with me today. I think he was on the Holy Man podcast a while ago. He was one of my early guests. Some of you know him. You see him on stage here at New Life regularly. His name is Mitch Austin. Mitch, it's good having you with me today.
Yes, it's good to be here, Paul.
Yeah, so you were on before, weren't you?
Yeah, I think it was the self-deprecating.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I don't remember. Yeah.
You've grown out of that, though. So I don't know. You are perfect at that.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Which is good because, you know, we're talking about a topic today that is a challenging one in so many different ways. It's one that when Paul puts it into the list of for Timothy and Titus, I think it was only in Titus's list, but it's one that challenges us a little bit. At least it does me. Mm-hmm. It's he calls Titus, he says, you must live a devout or a holy life. Mm. A devout or holy life. The Greek word there is hosios, which depending on which translation, it can be devout, holy, pure, pious, undefiled by sin, free from wickedness. So Mitch,
yes,
you are a leader in a church, a man who others look up to for what a Christian leader should look like. Mm-hmm. And so Paul is telling Titus, and therefore you, that one of the attributes or characteristics of you living that life is being holy. Mm-hmm. How do you feel about that?
Sometimes it feels daunting.
Yeah.
Sometimes it feels less daunting. But you said the one sinless. Did you say one of the, it depends on the translation.
Undefiled by sin.
Undefiled by sin.
I didn't like that one.
I feel like I would hope any leader would read that. Not, and they would, at least they would have the conviction of, oh no.
Crap.
I'm still angry.
Yeah.
Or whatever it could be. So yes. This is one that I do pray for often, that I would be convicted and continue to grow. I would receive grace in the moment and continue to move closer to what God would have me.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think that's we'll be talking about that throughout the podcast here it's a journey of holiness. And I think that as Paul is writing these, he's not saying all of you must be perfect in every single one of these attributes.
Right.
Because if that's the case, let's be honest. We don't have any leaders because right. We can't, but mm-hmm. It's, and that's why I tried to talk to the guys throughout the semester is these are things we should be aspiring to.
Right.
That allowing God to grow us into these more and more. And it's cool in some of the conversations I've had with my men in the life groups, they're loving that it is something that we're aspiring to and that we're allowing God to change us and move us in that direction. Mm-hmm. So now when we talk about holiness though, you know, Gene Getz in his book that the chapter on this, he helps us to understand that we can get pretty messed up on this understanding mm-hmm. of what holiness it actually, if the church communicates the idea of being holy in an incorrect way, or if our parents are raising us to misunderstand this concept, it can mess us up.
Yes.
In different ways. And so, you know, he shares a couple of different ways in there. Mitch, have you ever been confused on the concept of being holy? And in what ways have you been, or maybe have you known guys that have struggled with this concept of moving towards or becoming holy?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. For me, I think one of them would be sin management, where it's
what do you mean by sin management?
Holiness would be if I screw up, I'm falling out of favor with God.
Oh, right. Okay.
And for me to be holy, I need to not sin. So therefore I'm in correct standing with God.
So it rests a little bit going back to that self-deprecation where you think I'm not worthy.
I think it comes back down to your works in that way, in that mm-hmm. sense.
Yeah.
And I'm just saying there's a huge focus on, I'm not saying that shouldn't be our goal.
Right.
Right. That we do limit sin in our life.
But, absolutely.
But the focus is too strong on my works are what give me correct standing with God.
Because let's face it, we as men, we like to fix things.
Right.
And that includes ourselves.
Fix things, being in control, be the final say, or I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah. So we can get messed up when we are trying to work our own way into that holy position. Mm-hmm. Another way we hear a lot about, and we see guys and maybe including ourselves sometimes, the idea of legalism.
Yes.
Yep. That is a huge one. Gene gets in his chapter, he talks about that some. He also talks about perfectionism.
Sure.
And that's comparable. I know that a lot of people, because of how their parents trained them, they think they have to be perfect, not just with their parents, but then when they start this relationship with God, that perfectionism transfers into that relationship because God as Father, I think I have to be perfect then.
Right.
And it leans back into that works thing where I think I got to get this done.
Sure.
I have to be perfect. And man, we don't like to have grace for ourselves.
True. And yeah. And even if it's not like a sin in your life, it could be, I didn't read my Bible. So therefore God's not going to give me grace on this thing. It's like, it's a shame that we think that our daily devotional is going to change our standing with God in that way.
And with legalism, so oftentimes we also see that people can become very judgmental because they have their own mindsets of what the sins are that they're doing with.
Right.
And then so we look at the specks of sawdust in the other people's eyes and we judge them for that. And boy, that legalism can really get us mixed up because we hurt other relationships then because of that.
Yeah, right.
You know, Gene talked about how asceticism, which is the idea of getting away from the world to be able to be more holy. That's something that he talked about. And I've seen it, you know, I grew up in an area where there's a lot of people like the Amish community. And, you know, that's a grouping of people who try to stay out of the world, to not let the world draw them away from God. That's the original meaning of it. And, you know, it's funny because they struggle with it. I worked with, her name was Esther. I worked with her at my engineering firm before I became a pastor. And she'd be the first to tell you, it's the direction we go, but man, we got other things messed up. You know, relationships we just struggle with. We allow money is a big thing for some of them that she saw would get mixed up in how they worshiped money. Mm. And so, you know, it doesn't matter what it is. We all struggle with something. We can try to get away from the world, sure. but we're in the world, whether we believe it or not.
Yes.
We're dealing with it.
Yes.
So I think, you know, we need to then figure out what is Paul talking about when he talks to Titus? What is Gene helping us to see a little bit in this chapter as we talk of this idea of being holy? I want us to talk through, Gene shares some terminology in his chapter, but I want to bring some, since we're a Wesleyan church, I just want to bring a little bit of our Wesleyan language into this to help, you know, because we use it in church sometimes. Sure. So I want to make sure that we have a good understanding of this. And so one of the things that is a major proponent of in what we think about holiness is this idea begins with grace. So Mitch, give the guys a simple understanding. What is grace and how does it play into holiness?
Okay. I had to look it up because I couldn't give a simple.
Yep.
But one I found that hit well with me was one gives goodness to another out of love, not because the other deserves it. So it's an action. And in its essence, it's kind of God's nature. So it's God is showing us favor.
Mm-hmm.
And God is giving us goodness just because he does. And it's not that we deserve it.
And that's the big piece. It's undeserved.
Right.
But it's still goodness that he still gives it anyways.
Correct.
And that's the nutshell of grace, undeserved merit, undeserved mm-hmm. love. Mm-hmm. And so with that, then when you then bring that into the concept of holiness is the idea that we find ourselves on a journey of holiness, not because of anything. This goes against this works idea that we just talked about. Mm-hmm. It's not because of us. It's all because of God's grace, that he's the one that makes us holy. Mm-hmm. And that just happens over the course of times in different mm-hmm. ways. One of the first ways that Wesley talks about, and I'm not sure this, we don't talk about this one as much, but it's a really cool one, is the idea of what he coined the phrase prevenient grace. Mm. And it's such a cool understanding that it's basically God loving us before we ever knew we were loved.
Right.
So Mitch, even though I know you were raised in a church, can you remember a time in your life when you were not as focused upon walking with God as you are now?
Mm. I can.
Okay.
Do I want to come clean your podcast? Yeah, I can. It was
my, you don't have to expound on what sure, that looked like sure, and sure, what sure. that you know, played out.
Yeah, but, if I get some good chuckles out of the guys.
Yes, but, I'm sure we could.
High school and college. I'd say high school into college. Definitely, I would say a prevenient grace even there is that I was raised, I think this would count. You could correct mm-hmm, me if I was wrong.
Absolutely.
But that I was raised in a household that demonstrated God.
Yep.
To us.
Yeah.
So it wasn't just, these are the things that you believe, or we as a family, we believe. It was, these are the things we believe. And then I was able to see my family act those out at the table and inside our home.
It was your parents' faith.
Yes.
And you got to witness, that's how it was with me. I witnessed my parents' faith. My faith was connected to my parents' faith because they helped me live that life of going to church and things like that. And so they helped me get that rhythm of understanding what a faith journey can look like. Mm-hmm. But yet I still wasn't living it.
Right.
You know, same thing, high school. By the time I got to college, I was starting to get there a little bit better. But how cool is it to think this idea of prevenient grace, that in those times, Mitch, when you were kind of rebelling, mm-hmm. doing your own thing, doing things your way, that God was still chasing you.
All right. And that you can, I feel like in the, it'd be forest for the trees. You can't really see it when you're in it. But now looking back, thinking back through high school and college, I can actually think of moments where I can say, God, that was God pursuing me, or that was God blocking me from something.
Absolutely. Me too.
That I would not have that. Yes. So
and part of that was some of the friends that he put around me.
Yes.
Was
very much so.
Had, you know, I had nothing to do with that. God just put them into my life and we started hanging out and they were good guys. Mm-hmm. And so they helped prevent some of the crap exactly that I right. could have gotten into.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
I'm going to share some different passages out of the book of Romans today, just to help us with these concepts. Paul shares some really good thoughts in there. And Romans chapter 5, starting in verse 6, he shares this idea of prevenient grace. He says, when we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. Now, most people would not be willing to die for an upright person, though someone might perhaps be willing to die for a person who is especially good. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were yet still sinners. Mm. Mm. So while we were rebelling, while we were chasing our own ways of life, God was already pursuing us with the life of his son on the cross. Mm. That's prevenient grace at its heart.
Yeah.
And it's so cool that that's what Paul is wanting us to understand about grace. So Mitch, again, this basically says, even when we were still being buttheads, mm-hmm. you know, so I gotta digress for a moment here. This morning, I woke Daniel up by knocking on the wall, walking down the hallway.
And he do it.
I thought so.
Yeah.
But then he jumped out of bed and said, Dad, I was in the middle of a dream. You jump scared me. I said, you know what? Sometimes your dad's just a butthead. "Don't you dare say that about my dad," he said.
Oh, funny.
"Dad, you are not and you never have been a butthead." I'm like, oh, Daniel, dude, that's a great way to wake up right there.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I know.
Preaching at you this morning.
How about that? Yeah. So anyways, back to it.
Yes.
Even when we were buttheads, God was loving us as part of our journey to eventually find holiness. Mm-hmm. Thoughts on that?
I don't know what I would do without the prevenient grace.
Yeah. And that's the thing, guys. I want all of you to hear that out there, because there's some of you might be listening to this, that you're there right now. You haven't yet given your life to Christ. And you might think that you're too far gone, that you've done too much out there, that there's no way that God could love you. No, that's not true. This, what we're telling you right now is, especially now, God is chasing you. Mm-hmm. Just you listening to this podcast is part of that. This is God saying, dude, I love you. You're not too far gone. I gave my life for you. Come hang out with me. Mm-hmm. That's God. That's what he's saying.
I hope I'll try to say it pretty fast, but the thing that I just heard from, I was listening to the Bible Project, and Jesus is this, but they're talking about Moses, how Moses was this Christ archetype thing. Okay.
Right.
He was not the one, because he could not die for the sins of the people. So he is just but he brings Israel out of Egypt. He's up on Mount Sinai, and the Israelites start worshiping golden calves. And God says to Moses, "I'm done with them.
Mm.
I will wipe them off the face."
Mm-hmm.
And Moses, appealing to God's gracious character,
correct,
he says, "But be true to you. You are a faithful God. So by your nature, you should offer them forgiveness."
And God would have been justified if he wiped them out.
Yes, he would have been.
Because God, in his holiness, is just.
Yes.
But
he's also true to his character by offering that prevenient grace, saying, "All right, let's go again."
Yeah.
And for some reason, I heard that, I was like, man, that is.
That's my God.
That's my God. That's exactly right. So you got to have it while you're in sin.
Guys, God's chasing you.
Right.
Yep. And the cool thing is then, this moves us to the next part of our story, in what Wesley would call justifying grace or holiness. Gene calls it positional holiness in his chapter. And if we respond to that prevenient grace of God chasing us and loving us when we are unlovable, that moves us into this idea of grace, the grace of God making us holy. This is that moment when we realize that what Jesus did on the cross for us, took our place because of his love for us. We place our faith in him and we receive the gift of salvation, being saved from those sins. That's what this moment is. It's when we give our lives to Christ, put our faith in Christ, and that he atones for, he pays the price for our sins with his work on the cross. So Mitch, can you remember that time in your life when this made sense to you, or when you put your faith in Christ and accepted that gift?
Oh yeah. College. It's the prevenient grace. I was surrounded by friends who were kind of believers, or at least were probably looking, but there was a church that offered free food on Thursday nights.
It's amazing how that gets college.
And they
students.
Had a really good worship team.
Yeah.
And they had a college pastor who was, really genuine, I guess I would mm-hmm. seem like. So we would go there, get free food, do worship, do the message. And I went there honestly just to hang out with friends and get free food initially. And then there was there was a teaching one night that it was about lost. I can't remember. And that was it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember mine was at church camp between my junior and senior year of high school. And it's funny because I was one of those kids that I went forward several different times, whether it was in Sunday school or whether it was at church camp previous years. And I did it because my friends said, "Hey, let's go up," you know, things like that. Yeah. But this time it hit me so hard. They were talking about prevenient grace basically, mm-hmm. and how God just was chasing me even when I was unchaseable. And then he paid the price for me. And so that year, man, I don't know, the Holy Spirit just worked on me enough that it made sense. Mm. And so I said yes to him. And my best friend had just become a Christian like the year before that. So he had been praying for me and his dad has been praying for me.
Gosh.
And it was so cool. So when I came home, I went straight to him and said, dude, guess what? Yeah. And it was such a cool moment.
Yeah.
So I remember that. And now, granted, I had a lot of work to do in my life moving forward. And that's, we'll talk about that in a moment. But in that moment, though, when we say yes to Jesus, what happens in that time is through God's grace is this thing called justification. It's the understanding that God the Father now looks at us through what Jesus did on the cross and dying in our place. So the Father now sees us, Mitch, as righteous or holy, not because of us, but because of what Jesus did for us. It's nothing that we did. It's all based upon Jesus. And this is so important for us to realize that number one, the Father sees us as holy. That's powerful. Wait,
I have to pinch myself.
All hopefully not hard, but
well, it depends on how
I hear you, but, but this is the thoughts that the God, the Father sees me as holy. And again, it's because of the blood that Jesus shed, his willingness to take my place on that cross. He died in place of me, paid for those sins. And in Romans chapter 3, it says this. It says, we are made, let me say verse 22, Romans 3, 22, it says, we are made right or justified. We are made righteous with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. And this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who we are. For everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. Yet God in his grace freely makes us right or holy in his sight. He did this through Jesus Christ when he freed us from the penalty for our sins. For God presented Jesus as the sacrifice for sin. People are made right. You hear this language over and over again. People are made right with God when they believe that Jesus sacrificed his life, shedding his blood. So Mitch, you are holy. How does that sit with you? Does it sound right?
Yeah. I don't know how to answer that.
I hear you. It doesn't, but it does.
It does, but it doesn't feel maybe right, but it also does feel right. It's like, yeah, it has, that's the only way it can be. It has to be that way.
Yeah. And I love how Paul explains it there. It is that it's not on us. And that's so important for us to get because, again, without that understanding, we go into that works righteousness. We go into the legalistic idea of it's on me, that I need to be holy to make God happy with me. No. God's already happy with you because you simply believe in Jesus. He loves you. He loved you. He's already happy with you before you did anything because he created you and he knows your heart. But when you say yes to Jesus, when you respond to his grace, he looks at you now through that cross. And that cross makes us holy. So should we rest on that then? I mean, you're holy, Mitch.
I know.
Should you rest on that? Be done with our faith journey and just say, hey, I got this fire insurance.
Right.
I'm in heaven now.
Right.
So
yeah, the thing is, a lot of people talk about, I'm not going to say it right, but because I don't know what the difference would be, but the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom.
Right.
The kingdom that Christ was initiating. And, but we just had Chad Sheehan and he called it the good stuff.
The good stuff. Right? I love that in his sermon.
And but hear people say the good life.
Yep.
So the shame would be if you stop there, if you stop at fire insurance, you're going to miss out on living the things of Jesus now here. You're going to miss out on the freedom and the love and the joy, all those, I mean, just those things.
Because here's the deal. Even though God sees us as holy because of what Jesus did, because he paid for all of our past sins. Mitch, I know you and I both, we'd be quick to say, I still sin. Our wives would still say, yes,
he's very human. Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
So we still sin. The price has been paid, but we're still struggling with sin because part of it is I don't know everything there is to know about God yet.
Right.
And so, you know, the important thing is, Mitch, are you sinning less today than maybe you were 10 years ago? And
I think so.
I think so too.
I hope so.
I think I am too, as well. And it's because, again, of the grace that God has changed me, helped me to see things differently. The more I know about God, the more I realize, oh, I didn't realize that, God, that that's how my life could be better in your sight. Sure. And so now that I understand that, God, I'm going to change that in my life. You're changing the way I think, God. And we're going to talk about that in just a second.
Yeah. I hope maybe I'm jumping it, but that's what I like so much when you said, when you talked about Zacchaeus last past message.
Mm-hmm.
And you pointed out that he said, I'm going to give some of my wealth away. And if I've cheated anybody, I'll give them back four times.
Mm-hmm.
And like, to me, that is the, his, I mean, would you call that holiness? His relationship with Jesus wasn't that he was reading the Torah more or that he was praying more. It was that he was bringing the kingdom here to earth, that he was offering grace, that he was being generous, that, I mean, that's a life that I want.
And that's the thing. So, as you put your faith in Jesus, as you believe in him, the Holy Spirit, and this is the Holy Spirit comes into us. And this is, how do you feel about that, Mitch? That you have a Holy Spirit living in, tabernacling on your heart there, putting up a tent, little campsite there.
Right.
I like to think I'm drinking coffee around the fire with the Holy Spirit.
There you go.
You know,
dang right. I like that vision.
Isn't it? Isn't it a cool vision?
Yes. Sometimes I don't think about it, but then when I have moments of anger or I am envious, I'm like, gosh, it's weird.
Pride kicks in. Pride, all those different things.
It's weird that the Holy Spirit was right there, kind of knowing all the things that I was.
And but you think about him. He's sitting there at the campfire with us, drinking a cup of coffee, and he just sits with us. He goes, "Dude, did you see what you just did?
Right.
You know, let's talk about that.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. The Holy Spirit is there to help convict us, to help convince us, to help have compassion on us, to help show us, to take the teachings that we have read before and say, hey, let me remind you.
Sure.
These are all the different things that we find, and I don't have time to get into it, but all the things that the Holy Spirit does for us in helping us. And I want to come back to this. This grace is called sanctification grace. Mm. It's the idea. It's a big word that simply means that the Holy Spirit of God is now helping us to become more like Jesus or holy. And again, it's not on us.
Right.
It's the Holy Spirit helping us as we surrender. And I love this word. It's such an important word for us. As we surrender our ways and allow the Holy Spirit to change our ways, we're saying, yes, God, I see your better way of life. I'm going to surrender to that. I'm going to give up my way of doing it.
Right.
And I'm going to do your way of doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's sanctification. It's grace. It only happens because God's willing to walk with us.
Right.
You know, the Holy Spirit given to us as a gift, it's a gift. It's nothing that we did to deserve it.
Mm-hmm.
But instead, out of his grace, he says, I'm going to give you a bonus. You know, I'm going to give you heaven.
Mm-hmm.
But on top of that, I'm going to give you a bonus.
Mm-hmm.
Don't deserve it, but it's my presence.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to sit around the campfire, drink coffee, and I'm going to help you to become a better holy man.
Gosh.
One of my favorite texts. Let's go back to Romans again, Mitch.
Okay.
When you're talking sanctification, this is one of my favorite ones out there. It's Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. And it says, so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies or your lives to God. That's that surrendering idea. Give your life to God because of all he has done for you. So you see, it's him first, his grace. Because all that he has done for you, give your life to him. Let them be a living and holy, your lives be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind that he will find acceptable. This is truly a way to worship him. So this is the way we lift God up and say, God, you are so important to me. I'm going to give you my life. I'm going to trust you with my life. Okay, verse 2, and this is really cool here. Don't copy the behavior and customs of the world. Easier said than done.
Amen.
But let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. That is sanctification. That's the journey of becoming more and more of a holy man like Jesus would. So Mitch, how have you collaborated with God on this journey to, of becoming more like Jesus? What are some of the ways that you walk with the Holy Spirit to better help the process of God changing the way you think? Again, it's God first, the gift of the Holy Spirit. So again, it starts with God's grace, but we collaborate with him.
Right.
To allow the Holy Spirit to have better work to do. So what are some of the ways that you can share with the guys that you have collaborated with God, that you've walked with God in allowing the Holy Spirit to change the way you think?
Well, I would, this is one that is going to be silly. I'm over the last few years, I'm doing a better job at reading God's word, reading the Bible.
Sounds simple.
And it does sound simple. And I've never been a skeptic that reading the Bible, like I know that is a way that God reveals himself to us. But it is like, it's, I guess, there is something about it. Reading the Bible is not going to magically fix your life.
Correct.
But there is something to it. There's that helps you align your wants with your creator's wants.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it is a primary, it's a huge way that he reveals himself to us. So partnering with him is, I think, getting to know him and reading about him.
Here's one of the ways with scripture reading, Mitch, that I try to relate to it is, have you had some other men or ladies in your life who have gone before you, who you got to watch how they lived their life and that you learn from them, whether it's changing the oil in a car, sure, whether it's shooting a gun for the first time,
sure,
you know, all these different things, these normal things of life that you've watched them, they've mentored you, they've shown you how to live your life. Have you had any of those?
I have.
Okay. That's what the Bible can be.
Right.
I mean, you think about the stories of Moses, you already mentioned him, of great men like Boaz and Barnabas and the disciples, of course, the apostles, and the list can go on and on of all these other men in life, and they messed up.
Yeah.
And they got it right. Right. So to learn faith from other dudes just by reading their stories, yeah, doesn't that make sense if we also can say, my dad taught me how to shoot a gun?
Right. Right. Exactly right. Another big one is, I think, having good community.
Absolutely.
Around me.
Yeah.
Of guys that are on the same journey, the same path. That has been very helpful. And then you mentioned one, but surrender.
Yep.
And that one, I guess if you want to partner with God, you have to surrender some of your will you have to surrender that to him.
Correct.
It's not easy, but trying to have my actions and then match maybe the knowledge or the things that I know, but have my daily thoughts and actions match what God would have me do.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a lot of surrender, and it's a lot of asking for forgiveness, and it's
right. Well, those are all parts of it.
It's a lot of it.
You know, asking for forgiveness is one that can be so powerful in a walk of faith. When we realize that we messed up, that we read it in scripture or we hear a sermon about it, or whatever, and we realize, oh man, I didn't realize that was a sin. That was not where God would want me to be. Mm-hmm. To be willing to go to God and actually verbalize, God, please forgive me. I realize now that I've been blowing this because I know the cross was necessary because of that sin. For us to, and then also, once you realized it and then you accidentally or purposely kept doing it, to be able to go to God and say, God, forgive me. Let's face it, Mitch, do we like admitting that we're wrong?
No, I'd rather not.
Exactly. So that's when we go to God and say, God, I blew it. Please forgive me. That's what we're doing there. We don't like doing that. And so I'm not going to sin as much in the future because I recognize and realize it's hurting God. He went to the cross for that. So forgiveness is such a powerful step. It's one of the things I was going to mention because I think it can be so powerful for us to be willing to take those things to God, to acknowledge it before him, because if we don't, they're just still out there.
Mm-hmm.
Not a big deal. They're in my past or whatever, sure. But just to actually verbalize them to God, it helps us to see the weight of the cross.
Yeah.
And it can, then it, the Holy Spirit can say, okay, good. You got that. Mm-hmm. Now let's go and sin no more.
Sure.
And so it can take that step. So forgiveness can be such a powerful thing. Mm-hmm. Prayer, you know, guys, if you get a chance, you know, my wife and Brooklyn have a podcast there. This past semester, they've been talking a lot about prayer. You can find that on the YouTube channel. And, it's so cool to hear so many stories about the ladies at New Life Church have grown so much in prayer in this last semester, how powerfully it can transform your life when you grow in prayer and learn the idea of a conversation with God, both to him and listening to God. It can be transformational.
Yeah. I would say that's probably the main area that I feel like I'm working on or not good at.
Well, I have a couple of good books I can recommend.
I have to do it. Yeah.
And truthfully, I know you love listening to podcasts. There's mm-hmm. some amazing podcasts of some dudes out there who teach about prayer, of mm-hmm. how prayer has blessed their lives.
Right. Yeah.
There are so many ways. And yep. And guys, here's the deal. Don't be satisfied. That's the key to realize that God has a better life for us. Mm-hmm. Mitch, your life is better now than what it was 10 years ago.
Amen. For sure.
My life is better than it was 10 years ago. My marriage is better. My finances, the peace that I have
yes.
with finances. Yes. And it doesn't mean I'm rich. It means I have peace with how I live them because I'm living them the way God does. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the more peace I have, the more joy I have in my life, the relationships I think are better than what they were 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. And it's all because iron sharpens iron. The men that I'm hanging out with that are, you know, we're helping each other become better men. It's a journey of, again, it's sanctification. It's becoming more holy, becoming more like Jesus. And it's all because God wants that for us. And even though we don't deserve it because we sinned, again, it comes back to grace.
Yeah.
Mm. Wow.
Amen.
Man, we talked about a lot of yeah. deep stuff, but hopefully we helped the guys understand it a little bit.
I hope so.
Yeah.
You freaked me out. You said, Paul, Mitch, we need to not make this harder than not confuse guys.
Yeah.
Make it more confusing. And I thought, oh no.
I know. Well, I try to.
You did a great job.
Meet it. I tried that. Well, I think I chose the right guy to help us understand this from a dude's perspective, a dude, no matter whether you've been walking with God for years and years and you know a lot of churchy terms or whether you don't, mm-hmm. it's a journey. It starts with God chasing us. Mm-hmm. For us saying, yes, God, I'm willing to be caught mm-hmm. and I'm going to put my faith in you. And then God giving us that gift of the Holy Spirit to keep the journey going as we collaborate with him sure. on the journey. Mm-hmm. So, you know, again, Paul says to Timothy or to Titus, be holy. Jesus several times said, be holy. You know, it's a call on our lives not to be satisfied because there is a better life available. God's grace through his Spirit stirs us, draws us, shows us the way, encourages us, empowers us, teaches us, reminds us, and all as a part of the journey towards becoming holy men. Mitch, thank you for joining me today.
Hey, well, thanks for having me.
It's always great having you with me. For you guys out there, again, we have one more week next week to close out this journey of looking at the 20 attributes that Paul shares with Timothy and Titus that Gene Getz has shared with us. So hopefully your life groups are continuing to help you on this journey. And guys, I love you. I'm praying for you. May this be a blessing to you as you continue on your journey of becoming holy men.